Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
My name is Mackenzie, and I started a GoFundMe for the adoptive mother of a nonverbal autistic child. The mother had lost her job because she wasn't able to find adequate care for this autistic child. So she really needed some help with living expenses, paying some back bills. So I launched a GoFundMe to help support them during this crisis. And we raised about $10,000 within just a couple of months. I think that the surprising thing was by telling a clear story and just like really being very clear about what we needed, we had some really generous donations from people who were really moved by the situation that this family was struggling with.
GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This podcast is supported by GoFundMe.
Welcome back to The Deep Dive. Today, we are stepping into the ring for a bit of a heavyweight bout. In one corner, you've got the biology of human aging, you know, the relentless pull of gravity and the repetitive motion of our own faces. And in the other corner, we have this tiny synthetic molecule that promises to pause time, or at least slow it down, without a single needle touching your skin. We are talking about SNAP8.
It's a matchup that generates a lot of noise. You see the headlines everywhere.
Oh, yeah. The Botox in a bottle claims, the glossy Instagram ads. It's incredibly seductive marketing.
It is.
And that's exactly why we need to pull it apart. Because, I mean, usually when something sounds that good, get the effects of a neurotoxin without the toxin, my scam radar starts pinging.
It's a completely fair question.
So the mission today is to look at the actual biochemistry. Is this legitimate science, or are we just talking about expensive water?
All right. We're going to strip away the brand names, all the marketing language, and look at the peptide itself. Chemically, it's known as acetyl octapeptide 3. We need to understand how it actually interacts with the neuromuscular junction, look at the clinical data on, you know, wrinkle depth, and maybe most importantly, talk about the physical barriers it has to overcome just to do anything at all.
Right, the skin barrier, the ultimate gatekeeper. But before we try to sneak past the guards, I do want to mention that this deep dive into the raw data is brought to you by InfinityPeptide.com. If you're interested in any of the source materials we're discussing, that's where you look.
So let's set the stage. To really understand SNAP8, we actually have to go back in time a little bit. This isn't some standalone discovery. It's a sequel.
The sequel to Arguraline. Right. Acetylhexapeptide 8. That was the original darling of the whole needle-free movement back in the early 2000s?
Exactly. Arguraline was really the first significant attempt to mimic the mechanism of botulinum toxin topically. It's a 6-amino acid chain. SNAP8, well, as the name sort of implies, it's an octapeptide. It's an elongation of that original arguline sequence.
So they just tacked on 2 more amino acids?
Yeah.
Sounds like a marketing update. New and improved, now with 33% more amino acids. But did that actually change the function, or was it just a way to get a new patent?
Well, it's a bit of both, but there's a real biochemical logic to it. In peptide engineering, length and structure, they dictate stability. The big problem with peptides is that they're fragile. They break down easily in the bottle. They break down on the skin. The theory behind extending arguline into SNAP8 was to create a more stable molecule that could bind more effectively to its target.
Okay, so it's arguline 2.0. Harder, better, faster, stronger. But let's talk about the molecule itself. I was looking at the spec sheet, and the molecular weight really stood out to me. It's around 1075 Daltons.
Yes, that's right. 1075 Daltons.
See, this is where I get skeptical. In dermatology, there's this concept called the 500 Dalton rule. The idea is that anything heavier than 500 Daltons basically bounces off the skin barrier like a tennis ball hitting a brick wall. SNAP8 is double that limit. So, are we just painting the surface of the brick wall here?
That is the single biggest challenge in this entire field. You've hit on the central conflict. You have a mechanism that works beautifully in a petri dish, but the delivery is a total nightmare.
Yeah.
However, the 500 Dalton rule isn't a hard off switch. It's more of a resistance curve. Molecules larger than 500 Daltons can penetrate, but they struggle. They usually need help, things like penetration enhancers or encapsulation in liposomes or even just really high concentrations to sort of force diffusion through hair follicles and sweat glands.
So say a brute force entry.
Or a Trojan horse, exactly. We can get to delivery systems later, but just keep that friction in mind. We have a large molecule trying to get deep into the skin to reach a nerve ending.
Okay, let's assume it makes it. Let's say we have a liposome that ferries this massive peptide down to the neuromuscular junction. What happens when it gets there? Because the claim is that it stops wrinkles, but it doesn't paralyze the muscle like Botox. How do you stop movement without paralysis?
This brings us to the snare complex. And this is probably the most fascinating piece of biology we'll discuss today.
I love the name, snare. It sounds like a trap.
And it kind of acts like one. The snare complex is basically a docking station inside your nerve endings. When your brain tells a muscle to move, say you want to frown, the nerve sends a little vesicle, a bubble, filled with a neurotransmitter called acetylcholine down to the membrane. To release that chemical and trigger the muscle, the vesicle has to fuse with the nerve wall. The snare complex is the machinery that forces that fusion to happen.
So it's the zipper that opens the bag to let the chemical out.
A zipper is a great analogy, a perfect one actually. This zipper is made of three specific proteins, VAMP, syntaxin, and SNPA25. These three have to twist together really tightly to pull that vesicle open.
SNAP25, huh? That sounds familiar.
It should. SNAP8 is designed to be a mimic of SNAP25.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, it mimics the N-terminal end of that protein.
So it's an imposter.
Precisely. Think of the snare complex forming. It grabs VMP, it grabs syntaxin, and then it reaches for SNAP25. But instead, it accidentally grabs SNAP8 because it's floating around at a high enough concentration.
And what happens when the zipper tries to close with the wrong tooth?
It jams, or rather, it closes loosely. Because SNAP8 mimics the shape but doesn't have the full functionality of the real protein, the complex becomes unstable. It can't pull the vesicle tight enough to release the neurotransmitter efficiently.
So the signal, the command to contract, it gets garbled.
It gets modulated, yeah. Attenuated. Some acetylcholine still gets out, just not the full blast, so the muscle still contracts, but with much less force.
Okay, that explains the no paralysis thing. Now, compare that to Botox, because people use those two in the same sentence constantly.
The mechanism is radically different. I mean, night and day. Botulinum toxin is an enzyme, a protease. When it gets into the nerve ending, it doesn't just jam the zipper. It takes a pair of molecular scissors and literally cuts the SNF25 protein in half.
It destroys the machinery.
Completely.
Yeah.
The snare complex cannot form at all. That is why you get paralysis. The signal is completely cut. With SNAP8, the machinery is still there. It's just, well, it's clogged up with decoy parts. It's the difference between cutting the power cord to a speaker, that's Botox, and just turning the volume knob down to 3. That's SNAP8.
That's a really helpful distinction. And it also explains why the safety profile is so different. You aren't permanently damaging the proteins.
Well, not permanently, but temporarily. And that reversibility is a double-edged sword. If you stop Botox, you have months before the nerve regenerates the protein. If you stop using SNAP8, the decoys wash out, the real SNAP25 jumps right back in, and your wrinkles are back in high definition within days.
Okay, so biologically, the mechanism is sound. We know the snare complex exists. We know how these peptides can bind. But biology in a test tube is perfect. Biology on a human face is messy. What does the data actually say? Do we have proof this works on actual people?
We have data, but we do need to put a giant asterisk next to it. Most of the robust studies come directly from the manufacturer, Lupotec. They're part of Lubrizol now. That doesn't make the data fake, of course, but it means we have to look at it through a lens of commercial interest.
Fair enough. So what did they find?
They conducted in vivo studies, so on real people, using silicon imprints of the skin. Basically, they make a mold of the wrinkles before and after treatment, and then they measure the depth of the valleys in the mold.
That's actually a pretty reliable way to measure. It's hard to fake a physical mold.
It is. In their flagship study, they used a 10% solution of SNAP8 twice a day. After 28 days, they reported a maximum wrinkle depth reduction of 63%.
Whoa, hold on. 63%. That is massive. That's essentially more than half the wrinkle gone. That sounds too good to be true.
That is the maximum value observed. The headline number. It means one person in the study got that 63% reduction. The average was likely lower, though still statistically significant. But interestingly, when they compared it head-to-head with Argerline in that same study, SNAP8 showed about 30% greater efficacy.
So the update actually worked. The extra 2 amino acids, the stability boost, it translated to better performance on the skin.
It appears so. The prevailing theory is that because SNAP8 is more stable, It just survives longer in the skin, keeping that concentration of decoys high enough to compete with the natural proteins.
But a 10% concentration, that seems really high. If I look at a serum on the shelf, am I really getting 10%?
Ah, that is the catch. Dose dependent is the key phrase here. The studies show a very clear curve. More peptide, more result. A lot of commercial products will fairy dust these ingredients in. They'll put in, 0.01% just to get the name on the label. To get the results from the white paper, you need the concentration from the white paper.
And you need it to penetrate. We're right back to the 500 Dalton rule again.
We are. And this is why the vehicle, the cream or the serum base, is just as important as the active ingredient itself. If you just mix Snap 8 powder in water and splash it on your face, it's going to sit right on top and do absolutely nothing. It needs to be in a formula that disrupts the skin barrier just slightly. You'll often see it paired with delivery systems like liposomes or even suggested for use after something like microneedling.
Microneedling, right. You're just poking holes in the barrier to let the big molecule through.
Exactly. If you physically bypass the stratum corneum, that molecular weight becomes much, much less of an issue.
I want to circle back to the lack of independent studies. You mentioned it's mostly manufacturer data. Why aren't universities studying this? It seems like a huge market.
It's just not how the cosmetic industry is incentivized. Pharmaceutical drugs require these independent, double-blind trials because the FDA demands it for safety and efficacy claims.
Mm.
Cosmetics.
Mm.
They don't. Running a proper clinical trial costs millions of dollars. There's just no incentive for a university to study a proprietary peptide unless the manufacturer pays for it. So we're left with this gap. We have the mechanism, we have the manufacturer's proof of concept, we have anecdotal evidence, but we're missing that gold standard independent verification.
So we are essentially acting as our own clinical trials, N of one experiments in our own bathrooms.
In a way, yes.
So if I decide to run this experiment on my own face, what are the realistic expectations? I don't want the marketing pitch, I want the reality check.
The reality is subtlety. If you have deep, etched in lines that have been there for 20 years, static wrinkles, Snap 8 is not going to erase them. It targets dynamic wrinkles, the ones that appear when you move.
The crow's feet when you smile, the 11s between your brows when you frown.
Exactly those.
Right.
And unlike Botox, which can freeze the face, this will likely just soften the expression. You'll still look like you, just maybe less stressed, a little more rested.
Soft focus, not Photoshop.
That's a great way to put it. And patience is absolutely non-negotiable. You mentioned 28 days earlier. That's the bare minimum. You're trying to saturate a biological system. It often takes 4 to 8 weeks of twice daily use to see the peak effect.
And if you miss a few days,
the decoys clear out. The snare complex goes right back to optimal efficiency. You lose ground very, very quickly.
What about safety? We talked about it not destroying the nerve, but are there other risks? I mean, can you get a droopy eyelid like you can with bad Botox?
The theoretical risk is maybe if you somehow manage to get a massive amount deep into the muscle. But practically, no. The diffusion is so limited by the skin barrier that systemic side effects or muscle drooping are virtually unheard of. The biggest risk is just standard irritation contact dermatitis from the preservatives in the serum, not the peptide itself.
So it seems like a very safe bet, provided you have the patience and, I guess, the budget.
It is generally considered very safe, yes. It's a cosmetic ingredient, not a drug, so it doesn't enter the bloodstream in any meaningful way.
I'm curious about the cocktailing aspect. We know Snap 8 kind of turns down the volume on the damage. Does it make sense to pair it with things that actually fix the damage?
Absolutely. This is the classic prevention versus cure approach. Snap 8 is preventing the mechanical stress that causes the wrinkle, but you still need to repair the collagen that's already been broken down. So pairing this with a retinoid like vitamin A, or other peptides that stimulate collagen production, like Matrixyl, that's a very powerful strategy. You stop the holding, and you repair the fabric at the same time.
It's like stopping the car before you try to fix the pothole in the road.
Yes. If you keep driving over the pothole while you're trying to fill it, it's never going to stay fixed. Snap 8 stops a car.
Okay, so let's bring this case to a verdict. Snap 8 versus the skin barrier. Who wins?
I'd say it's a split decision. The biochemistry is elegant. The mimicry of SNM25 is a brilliant piece of molecular engineering. It essentially hacks the body's own communication system. But that skin barrier remains a formidable opponent. Snap 8 wins if the formulation is sophisticated enough to get it through the gates. If it's in a cheap formulation, the skin barrier wins and you just have expensive moisturizer.
So the takeaway is check the label, look for high concentrations and maybe help it along with some exfoliation or even microneedling.
And manage your expectations. It's not a replacement for a medical procedure. It is a top-tier cosmetic intervention.
You know, this whole conversation raises a weird point for me. We're talking about cosmetics, but we're describing, blocking neurotransmitters?
That's the frontier we're standing on. The industry is calling it neurocosmetics.
It sounds like sci-fi.
It is, a little bit. We're moving away from just moisturizing to actively modulating neuronal communication through the skin. Right now, the barrier keeps us safe from it being too effective. But as delivery systems improve, as we get better at bypassing that 500 Dalton rule, the line between a cosmetic cream and a topical drug is going to blur completely.
That is a provocative thought. At what point does your night cream become a prescription medication?
That's a question for the regulators. But the science is definitely pushing hard in that direction.
Well, until the FDA raids my bathroom, I think I'm going to keep experimenting. Thank you for stripping away the hype and just looking at the molecules with us.
My pleasure. Always follow the data.
And to all of you, thanks for diving deep. Check your labels, stay skeptical, and we will catch you on the next one.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this. Even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at rss.com.